There's always a goal, set a goal for yourself. It doesn't have to be huge, it doesn't have to be go win the world show or, win a national title. For me, especially starting in the ranch riding and then the hunters, it was just get a good ride, increase my personal best score on the ranch stuff, actually make 8 out of 8 of my distances in the hunters. And it, when you take the pressure off yourself about going out and winning those big titles, it makes the little accomplishments so much better. And it actually pushes you a lot further along towards those big titles than you think.
You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to The Ride, a podcast brought to you by Horse and Rider Magazine, hosted by Nicole Cherico and Emily Carey.
This episode is brought to you by My New Horse. For first-time horse owners and new riders just starting out, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel Feed to bring you My New Horse, a place where equestrians just getting into horse ownership or riding will find the resources and community they need at precisely their stage of the equine journey. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for all riders of all levels and disciplines who are eager to find easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit MyNewHorse.com.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Ride. I'm your host, Emily Carey, and I'm super excited today to be joined by Alexa Maxwell. Alexa grew up in the horse industry and has very successfully shown at all levels in a variety of disciplines. If anyone listened to my introductory podcast a while back with my co-host, Nicole, you'll know that I was the New York State Quarter Horse Association queen, and I represented New York at the Quarter Horse Congress in the Queen's Contest. And that's actually where I first met Alexa, when she was the Ohio Quarter Horse Association queen. So, Alexa, it is so great to get to reconnect with you and chat about what you've been up to.
Yeah, I'm super excited that you invited me to be here. As you said, I've grown up kind of in the horse world. My parents were horse trainers for quite a long time together, running the Max Training Center. And then my dad now has his own business with Maxwell Show Horses based in Kentucky now. I've probably been part of the horse industry for 20 some years. I mean, basically since I was born. As you said, I competed as the Ohio Quarter Horse Queen for the Queen's Contest 1 year. I've been on the 2016 Team USA World Cup team. So I've definitely had a lot of opportunities given to me because of the horse industry, and I definitely wouldn't change it for the world. It actually introduced me to my fiance, made a lot of friends that way. And it's kind of insane when you look back and think about all of the different ways that your life kind of changes because you do one single event, which seems insane, but.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, like, tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up, with trainers as parents and showing all over the place.
The showing all over the place was amazing. We got to see so many different places and towns, and when you look back at it, you have so many stories and adventures that kind of helped, I think, shape my childhood and into who I am now as an adult. For the horse trainers, as parents' part, it kind of sucked. There was a lot of times that people expected that I was getting more help, extra training and all this fun stuff. Unfortunately, that was not the case, As a trainer's kid, you are the unpaid help, the last person on the totem pole. And ultimately, I think it actually helped me become a more independent person, not only in life, but in my capabilities of showing as well. There's not a lot of times that I ask for help from trainers, unless I'm completely blank walling. But most of the time, I do all the work on my own horses now. It's just how I grew up that way. And if I do have any problems, of course, I've got great parents to ask those questions now. But for the most part, it's kind of turned me into an advanced DIY amateur.
I love that. I mean, same. It's fun when everyone looks at you and expects you to have all the answers just because your parents have all the answers. And you're like, no, I'm just out here trucking along.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, growing up with horse trainers as parents and even the both of us doing the Queen's contest, you know, we know the rule book in and out. And my dad's a AQHA NSBA judge. So I know the judging in and outs of that stuff. And it does give you a little bit of an advantage when you're showing to know what they're looking for. But to the riding side of it, I honestly feel like actually probably paying in a training program with a trainer, you would get more specialized, personalized help than you do being a trainer's kid.
Yeah, and I mean, you grew up doing the all around, you know, the pleasures, the horsemanships, but you're now also like extremely competitive in like the ranch riding classes. How did you get started and make the transition into those?
Well, when the ranch riding started, one of really close friends of mine had a reiner that they had turned ranch rider. She won the Congress with, and she was going to school. And myself, I always prided myself on trying new things. And I told her, I said, you know, I really want to try the ranch riding. So that's when right around the novice championships had started up. And I said, do you care if I borrow your horse for the novice championships? I really want to try the ranch riding. And it ended up that we actually worked out a deal that she was going to school and I ended up leasing him and showed him for the year. And actually last February, I'd shown him for like the last 6 years because she'd gotten married and, you know, had a little boy that's absolutely adorable. But they actually gave him to me for Valentine's Day last year. So, but it was kind of a nice little switchover. It was a little less stress, a little more enjoying the horse. And then when I started dating my fiance, I started kind of getting into the hunter stuff. So now I do that competitively as well. So I actually show more hunters and ranch riding than I do the all around at the moment. I show my ranch horse in the all around, which is really fun to do because people always, you know, see somebody come in on a ranch horse and maybe don't watch out for you as much as they probably should. But it's kind of a cool thing to be able to jump back and forth between disciplines. Definitely more hard now that I completely ride English only while I'm not back at my dad's house. So when I get back to riding Western, I always feel like my stirrups are 40 feet too long and my body's in the wrong position. But
yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I rode English a lot in college and then transitioning back into the Western, I was like, oh, it is a leap. It is very different. And, you know, in such a different discipline, like, can you walk us through how you were able to successfully make that transition? Because even just, you know, riding the horsemanship to the ranch riding, it's so different. Like, how did your background in the all around kind of help you with that transition?
As an all-around rider, you're used to switching. You know, we show the horsemanship, we show the equitation. We're used to switching those kind of disciplines up. Now, the riding's similar in that sense. But I also had a start in IEA, which is the Interscholastic Equestrian Association, similar to like the NCAA and the IHSA, but just for middle school and high school students. And honestly, I think that was one of the biggest helps of my career. You go in and unlike NCAA, there's not a 5-minute warm-up period. So you draw a horse, they put you on and throw you in the show pen. So I think for that definitely helped me be able to switch into different disciplines. I started showing the reining there, which made the ranch riding much easier. But it's definitely, you have to separate each event, which is harder to do than it sounds. It's, you know, you have to go in knowing what they expect of you, what the rule book is, which I think for us as Queen contestants was actually probably the best thing ever because we read those really detailed descriptions of what they were looking for per classes. And honestly, I think that's been the most help is just knowing what the definition of the class is. Now, the ranch riding is a little harder. It's not as defined as the horsemanship, the eck, the trail. The ranch riding does have an ability to be to the judge's discretion. So you might be, you know, in the 80s one week and in the 70s the next week, depending on what kind of type of horse they like. And especially with the ranch riding getting so competitive now. But I think definitely my background on the all around has allowed me to be able to move my body and my mind around a little softer and easier rather than stressing myself out about showing all these different disciplines.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the mental game must play such a huge role into that as you balance, you know, bouncing between the hunters to the Westerns and then the Western all around to the ranch. And of course, you know, there's a lot of pressure on you, you know, being Alexa Maxwell. Like, how are you able to like mentally prepare and balance all of that?
kid, you know, I did a lot. I was super successful with my mare, and I actually was more balanced with that than when I started doing the hunters. The ranch riding was super easy because it was kind of a newer class when I started. So I think everybody was just kind of trying to figure it out as I went. And I have such a cool horse, the crank up the band horse that I show in the ranch riding, such a cool horse anyway. But when I started doing the hunters, that was probably the biggest mental block I think I've hit in my show career, was because I had that mentality of, even when I switched to the ranch riding, I was going out and being competitive, you know, placing at the Congress and winning the nation right off the bat. And then I went to the hunters and it was like a blind squirrel. I could not, I mean, I thought that, you know, okay, it's like, it's advanced trail, you know, definitely not. It took several years, and it was the one event in my life that I actually took a step back and I was like, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe this is one I'm not going to master. But I stuck with it. I had a green horse and we kind of learned together, which I think actually helped me in the long run. I trust this horse with my life now, which you kind of have to do in the hunters anyway, but it's definitely everyone, especially in the hunters and in the ranch riding too. You know, you have those trainers and you watch that win all the time. They have bad days too. And it almost makes you, sorry if any of them are listening to this, sorry if it makes you feel bad, but we always like it when you fail because it makes all the rest of us feel a little bit better.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. Let's talk a little bit about some of the horses that you have. You said you're on a Crank the Band horse. Is that his name?
Yeah, his name is Carl. His registered name is Crank Up the Band.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about him. How long have you been riding him in the ranch? And the horsemanship, because you show him in both, yep. Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I started showing him in 2015, and I had taken him from my friend there and when she went to school. And I started showing him just on the ranch for probably until about 2018, 2019, actually. I don't think I showed him as a horsemanship horse until I was an amateur. And I took him to a horse show just by himself one week. And as an all-around person, you know, I showed so many classes in a weekend, and I just took one horse for one event because they didn't have the ranch trail. They didn't have the ranch rail at that point in time. And I was like, oh my God, I can't sit here for a 4-day horse show and show one class. Like, I can't do that. So my friends dared me to show him in the horsemanship. And I went out and he was the circuit champion. So then they're like, okay, we'll show him in the equitation. He loved that. He's actually won the NSBA World and the Color Amateur Horsemanship. Then I put the showmanship on him. He's placed the NSBA World. He's placed at the AQHA World and the Amateur Showmanship. And then I lost my sorrel horse, which was best cowboy around that I showed as an amateur all-around horse. And I really put that money into buying my hunter and didn't end up getting another all-around horse, and decided to turn around and start showing Carl in all the all-around events. And he kind of became, we call him Carl the Wonder Pony because he does literally everything. He actually ended up reserve all around amateur at the World Show 2 years ago in 23. So he's definitely a cool horse at 20 years old. He still has not learned to be good all the time, but
they have their moments. That's really special that you get to share so many different memories and, you know, milestones with Carl. That's really cool. How are you so showing the same horse a variety of different classes? You have to prepare for every class a little bit different. You can't walk into one class. You can't walk into a normal trail class with the same mentality that you would go into a ranch trail class with. How do you prepare to do all of the above, to do every single discipline at one show? Like, what's the difference in your strategies going into each class?
It depends on the horse for sure. He is super, super touchy being an ex-rainer. He was a derby horse at one point in time. So the ranch riding, I will admit, I don't school as much. I normally actually put him in a snaffle and try to get his head a little up off the ground after I've shown the horsemanship, because it's funny. He has his bridle for the ranch riding. He has his bridle for the horsemanship. So he knows kind of the difference. So once I put the Western bridle on for the horsemanship, he puts his head down. He just sits in the bridle. He loves the equitation, though, because I can actually give him a little bit of rein. It's like English ranch riding, I think, for him. But it's definitely, you prepare your horse the way you feel that they need to be prepared. He's a weirdo. He's absolutely scared of plastic bags and everything. And in the showmanship, he is one of the coolest horses I've shown and one of the worst. I hate showing him in the showmanship because I swear to God, if the wind blows, I feel like he's going to leave the building. Never looks that way, but it's definitely, you have to feel your horse, and there's some days he wants to participate, and others he's just like, you know what, I was just born to be a ranch rider. This is not for me.
What would you say has been, like, the biggest learning curve as you stepped into this ranch world, besides, you know, reading the book and learning all those rules? What else has been really, like, challenging, completely different?
To not show over the top, you know, in the horsemanship and the equitation and all the stuff that we show in the all around, even in the hunters, position is such a big deal. And I'm not saying that you can slouch or, you know, flop around in the ranch riding either, but it's so much more of a relaxed event. The people are more relaxed. As someone who spends the entirety at the Congress, to go from ranch week to hunter week to the all around week, it's kind of insane to feel the shift. You know, you have a bunch of people walking around during ranch week. It's everyone's all chilled out. I mean, we're all done by 5 o'clock. I mean, it's the most relaxing thing ever. No one has to wear expensive saddles. And it's actually become a really great intro for a lot of new members into AQHA as well. But there's definitely a shift when you turn into the all around world because it's so competitive. Not saying the ranch isn't competitive, but when you step, especially into the level 3 amateur stuff in the all around, that's a pool or an ocean that not many people want to jump into.
Yeah. I mean, the non-pro, the AMEs, they are going for it, especially those upper levels.
Yeah. And in the ranch riding, even, you know, you've got Bud Lyon's wife and all of these top competitors, they are the most chill people. I mean, you would never know. It is definitely a different world, and it's kind of nice because it is very laid back. Maybe not as cutthroat as most of the all-around classes, although all of those girls are fantastically wonderful and nice, but we definitely, there's definitely a hell or high water kind of thing going on.
No, for sure. It's a lot more cutthroat than I think people realize.
For sure, especially when you're starting.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about some of the mentors that you've had. Like, tell us about, you know, some of the mentors that you've had that have helped you throughout your show career and what's been special about those programs, if there are any.
Oh, the list is eternally long as a trainer's kid. That is one of the upsides to that is every trainer kind of becomes your extra parent in a way. And, first and foremost is probably Becky Schooler. She is the reason that I had the Zips Bossy chip mare. She has taken me under her wing multiple times, especially when we traded out kids. Her daughter, Ty, daughter, now was Ty Paris, trained with my dad a little bit, and I trained with Becky simply because we both wouldn't listen to each other's parents, so we got kids swapped a couple times. But she's definitely someone, she's definitely hard on you, but she wants to see you do well, and she's one of the very many reasons that I've been so successful. She actually coached me to win the amateur equitation at the Congress in 2023. A good friend of ours, Sarah Bernadowitz, has went to the World Show with me. She's been my pit crew, my gate chief, whatever you want to call her, running me from 6 pens in another and getting horses ready for me and giving me all kinds of advice. Kelly McDowell, there's been multiple times that Kelly has stepped up to the plate and helped me out. Chuck Briggs has stepped up. I mean, there's so many trainers that will see you struggling and be like, hey, try this to fix it and give you pointers. So there's so many people I could name and that I haven't named that are just such instrumental people into my experience in AQHA. Chad Evans gave me a halter off his bridle one day because of the youth world right before I went into the semifinals of the horsemanship. I broke my bridle. It fell off my horse's head. So it's kind of a family deal, and it's super cool to be involved with that. But there's definitely so many avenues that I've taken and people that have helped me that it's too many to name. It would be an hour and 30-minute long podcast just to me naming how many people has helped me.
I think that's one of the most, the thing I like the most about the horse world is that I think people think it's so elite up at the top, but everyone I've met just wants to help each other succeed. Everyone's always assisting as they can, whether it's, you know, giving them a bridle or, you know, my sister had a spur issue at the back gate at Congress and someone ran off and gave her a pair of spurs that she could use right before walking her class. Everybody wants to see each other succeed. And I think there's like this stigma that everyone's so cutthroat and will do anything to win. But from my experience is like everyone's there to help each other. It's such a big family.
It really is. I mean, even when we did the Queens contest, I borrowed a horse from Melissa Jones and I had told her, I'll get the horse ready, whatever. You just lay the stuff out for me. She met me there when we had our 2 a.m. ride time with the horse and everything, schooled me that morning. And, you know, they're not required to do that. They definitely don't get paid enough to do half the stuff that they do for anybody, but it's a family thing. And I think a lot of people forget that.
I think so too. So what, as a rider, what inspires you to just keep going, keep seeking the next big thing?
There's always a goal, set a goal for yourself. It doesn't have to be huge, it doesn't have to be go win the world show or win a national title. For me, especially starting in the ranch riding and then the hunters, it was just get a good ride, increase my personal best score on the ranch stuff, actually make 8 out of 8 of my distances in the hunters. When you take the pressure off yourself about going out and winning those big titles, it makes the little accomplishments so much better. And it actually pushes you a lot further along towards those big titles than you think. For me, I've been very fortunate to have a lot of success, and I still have not yet to hold a gold globe, much to my dismay, from the world show. So that's definitely my goal in mind. But now that I'm more of a relaxed amateur and not a travel youth kid anymore, I've really just put into inspiring myself by just enjoying the horse show, getting able to go, growing up as a kid that went every weekend, and now, life and adulthood and marriage and all this fun stuff kind of slows that down a bit for you. You kind of look back and realize how lucky you were to go every single weekend. So at this point, it's just, I enjoy going to the horse show and seeing my friends, my family that I don't get to see too much anymore, and actually just kind of enjoying the sport maybe a little more than I did as a youth kid.
Yeah, no, I feel that. It's nice to just be able to ride nowadays. Yeah.
And it really has helped me at the world shows. I would prep so hard when I was a youth kid to go to the world shows, and it almost was more pressure than anything. And now you almost go in with the mentality of you're just happy that you got to go. So it's a little easier to just be like, yeah, I just want to go out and have a good go. And if I get a medal, if I get a ribbon, it is what it is. But
yeah. And I think a lot of us non-pros and amateurs share that mentality of it's just nice to be here, and everything else is a bonus.
You're right.
Yeah. And you've had a ton of success in the all around. You hold the title, I believe, for the most youth AQHA points. Can you talk a little bit about what it means to be able to now add all these new ranch accolades to your resume?
Yeah, it's kind of insane. And one of the best things about my career as a youth kid was I prided myself on not being boastful about any of my accomplishments. It took a lot of time to get there, and there's a lot of kids that work just as hard as me to get the same thing. But when we broke the youth points record and then went on to be Zips Bossy Chip is actually the all-time highest point earning horse in AQHA history. We're hopefully getting her in the Hall of Fame here soon. And then, adding in winning the nation and the ranch riding to turning my ranch horse into the reserve all around amateur at the world show to winning the Congress and the hunters to the hunter hack. And it's kind of insane to think about all these different horses that we've been able to move up the ranks. But honestly, I couldn't thank the people that were around me enough for all of it, because it definitely took a village to get to all those points. And just because you win all this stuff and you have all these wonderful things on a piece of paper doesn't mean you can't get beat the next weekend, which was always one of my favorite things to say after the youth world. You'd go and you'd be a reserve world champion or a world champion, and everyone would think, oh, you're unbeatable. And then you'd go to NSBA and someone would fall on their face or get bucked off. And the unfortunate truth of doing a sport with a live animal isn't as fun as, playing basketball or football when you can actually control where it goes. So I think it's important to remember that just because you see people that are super successful, like myself, Kalina Weekly, you know, all of these huge non-pros, AMIs, open exhibitors, when we are so excited by our first win or 10th win, whatever, it's because just because it's, you know, the 30th win or whatever, we have put 60 more hours into that horse or 60 more hours into that event and in that time. So we're more excited about all of that extra hard work paying off, whether it's the first win or the last.
Yeah. And so what's next? What does the future look like for you?
Definitely going to be showing more. After this year's wedding and everything getting through, I'll definitely step out and show some more, start showing my yellow horse some more again. Hopefully I'll get a new all-around horse sometime soon. But I've mostly stuck to the hunters and the ranch stuff simply because of where I am in New York. It's definitely more of a hunter outlook. My fiance's family does the hunters anyway, so it's definitely easier around here to get that kind of stuff done, especially my fiance's dad is a hunter trainer, so he helps me for the most part. So not only did I have the parents as trainers, now I have the in-laws as trainers too. So kind of works in my favor, but I'm excited to get back on the road. Maybe not as much as I used to, but I'm definitely looking forward to next year with less wedding planning and more time spent at the horse show.
Yeah, definitely. Pausing here. Feel free to answer this next question. It's not a prepared question. I'm going to cut this talking part out, obviously. Do you have plans to go pro, or are you happy being
an
AMI?
Absolutely not.
Okay, then we're not even going to ask the question. Perfect.
You can ask, and I can give you an answer.
No, it's all good. It was just a random question I thought of.
I have been asked so many times if I was going to, and originally that was the plan. But I will be completely honest with you. I could handle the horses, no problem. It would be fine. I could handle however many horses you want to send, but I can't handle the people half the time.
That's fair. Same.
Growing up with my parents training horses, I got to see the ins and out, and God love them kids that tried so hard, but this just couldn't grasp it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have the patience for that.
Yep. No,
patience was not my middle name.
Totally fair. I get it. Same. But all right, we'll wrap it up then. Cool. Alyssa, thank you so much for joining us. It was awesome getting to chat with you about everything. Yeah, this is wonderful.
It was good to talk to you again. I don't think I've actually seen you since the Queen's contest.
I know, maybe a couple times here or there at Congress, but yeah, it's been a while. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Once again, we'd like to thank My New Horse for sponsoring this episode of The Ride.
Thank you guys for tuning into The Ride Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and please be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow Horse and Rider Magazine on social media and find us at horseandrider.com to see all the cool things that we're up to. And if you have any comments or questions, please be sure to hit us up at horseandrider@equinenetwork.com. We want to hear from you guys. And if you like what you're listening to, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes.